Good morning. Happy Lord's Day to each and every one. Could you go with me to Exodus chapter 15 for today's scripture reading? Exodus chapter 15. We're going to be reading from verse 20, Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. Then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute, that is he, God, a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. Father, we thank you for your word. Again, we ask that you would speak to us from it. For it's from your word that we learn your mind, what's in your mind and what you want to convey to us. And so as we look therein, we ask that you would bless us and challenge us to be more like your Son, our Savior, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. It was only a few weeks ago when we celebrated Palm Sunday. We don't make a big deal of Palm Sunday here, of course, but we recognize Palm Sunday when it comes around, because Palm Sunday itself tells us that Easter is right there. But one of the things about Palm Sunday is that it reminds us of the entry of our Lord Jesus on the donkey into Jerusalem. We remember how, while he was on the donkey entering Jerusalem, Those who saw him were excited about his entry, and they were waving palm branches and singing glory unto him. They shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And yet, it was only a few days later that some of these same people were shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Oh, how we can change so suddenly. There's a similar situation here in this passage that we read. For two-thirds of chapter 15, the Israelites were shouting the praises of God. He had done such a wonderful, miraculous thing for them. There was no doubt in their minds that this was the hand of God. And so verse 20 tells us, Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron and Moses, of course, she took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out with her with their timbrels, and they were dancing. And while they were singing whatever they were singing, Miriam had her own chorus, and she said, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously." For he, they recognized this was the hand of God. "For he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider, he has thrown into the sea." They were celebrating this victory that God had given them over the Israelites. Sometimes when we celebrate God, God wants to know if you really mean it. Sometimes when we celebrate God, God wants to know if we're only putting on a show, or if the celebration is honest and true and coming from deep down within us. Bible tells us it was only 3 days after they were celebrating this victory that God tested them. Let us establish this fact. Who led the children of Israel in the wilderness? It was God. And if you go back to chapter 13, that is made clear. In chapter 13, verses 21 and 22, it reads, "The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day and led them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. And he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire from before the people." Who is it that was leading Israel? It was God himself. And after this celebration, God decided to take them to a place called Marah. They traveled for 3 days before they got there. Came to a point where they couldn't bear it anymore. They were thirsty. They really wanted water. Do you think that God knows your needs? Do you think God knows when you are thirsty? God certainly does. It's not like they were dropping dead because of their thirst. God knew they were thirsty. God took them there to Marah. What is interesting, So many things are interesting. But here's another one then. We don't read that they decided to pray to God for water. There is no mention of prayer. Instead, they decided to blame Moses. They forgot everything about the great hand of God giving them protection as they crossed over the Red Sea. Moses, can you pray to God? We need water. No. Instead, they began to murmur. I tell you, sometimes when we celebrate God, he puts us to the test to see how thin or how flimsy our spirituality might be. It was the Lord who led them. As I read that, Hebrews chapter 6, chapter 11, I beg your pardon, chapter 11, verse 6 came to mind. How without faith, it is impossible to please God. That is a strong statement, you know. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. God certainly put their faith to the test here. Needless to say, they failed. No mention of prayer. But what we must notice also is that when they complained to Moses, Moses prayed to God. And when Moses prayed to God, God provided the answer. It was only after Moses prayed that God provided a way out of their predicament. Very often in life, we have our mini Mara experiences. How do we respond? Do we say, so-and-so is trying to do me this or that? Do we say, I'm never going to talk to him or her anymore because look what she did to me or he did to me? I ain't coming back here no more. Have we considered that there's a possibility that God might have allowed you to experience this particular incident so that you can be challenged and grow and be a better servant for him? Do we ever see God in our Mara experiences? God knew they were thirsty. Whatever your need is, God knows about it. Have you prayed to him for deliverance? I mean, really prayed? God is a deliverer. Jesus is a deliverer. That's the very purpose he came. One of the things that God was trying to show the children of Israel is simply this, I believe. He was trying to bring them to the attention that they really can't do without him. There are too many people who believe that they can do without God, that they don't need God in their lives. And the end result we see is that people, such people, end up miserable, disappointed. They take it out on others. All because they never give God some space in their lives. They never allow God to direct them. They shut God out. God tries to find ways and different ways and various ways to speak to them, but they would have none of it. And in the end, they blame everyone else for their problem. We must be in tune with the voice of God. When things happen to us, especially when we don't understand why and how, we should tune in to God. We should turn to His Word. We should ask God, show me, Lord. What are you trying to teach me, Lord? What is here for me to learn? God could well have a lesson in mind that He wants to teach us, even as was the case here. God showed Moses a tree or a branch from a tree, depending on what translation you use. NIV says a piece of wood. God provided a simple answer. Moses, throw it out into the water. And the situation changed. The bitter waters were made sweet. But this story was not about God performing a miracle, turning bitter waters into sweet. God didn't want to display His ability to change bitter water into sweet water. That was not the purpose at all. Not at all. And it's important to remember, if you've read the book of Exodus a few times, you go back to chapter 7. This is the opposite of what God did in chapter 7. When Moses approached Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was hard-hearted, God made drinkable water, bloody, undrinkable, so that the fish died and stunk, the Bible tells us. God made palatable water, drinkable water, undrinkable. And now He is making undrinkable water drinkable for the children of Israel. God is God. God shows us through nature that He has the power over nature. He's a powerful God. There is something about water and God. You remember Jesus in the New Testament? He turned water into wine. You remember Jesus on the Sea of Galilee? It was rough and the boats were jumping all over the place. And Jesus said, peace be still. And the wind stopped. You remember when He wanted to pay the taxes? Jesus said, you go, and the first fish that you pull up is going to have that coin in his mouth to pay the taxes. God demonstrates in so many ways that He has power over nature. But if we just get excited about the miracle of the water, bitter water turning sweet, we'll miss the message. It was not about that at all. It's not, God wasn't demonstrating His power for the sake of showing, hey, do you see what I can do? No, that would make God a magician, which He's not. There was a purpose behind what He did. And when we continue to read, we see it right here. God tells us why He did it. Verse 25 says, the second part says, and He made a statute and an ordinance. The statute is a law. The ordinance is a legislation by an authority to create a law. And God had that. God is powerful. God had the authority to make a law. And God did that, it says. He made it clear to them. But in making it clear to them is how he revealed why he did what he did. And I want you not to miss this, because this to me is the crux of the story. It's not about the bitter water made sweet at all. For it reads, he made a statute and an ordinance for them and tested them. Some of the things that we go through, they are tests from God. And except you are a weird person, you wouldn't want to fail a test. We all want to pass a test. Verse 26, God says, and if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to the commandments and keep all the statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians. But hear how it ends. For I am the Lord who heals you. That is the message. God wanted to show them that this was not about bitter waters being made sweet. This was about God speaking to the children of Israel about an internal transformation. This was about an internal transformation. This was the goal of God, to transform these people. God wants to change us. God wants to take away our stony hearts and give us a heart of flesh. You don't take out a good heart from a man or a woman. You only take out the heart because the heart is bad. God says, I'm going to give you a new one because the old one is no good. God wants to change us. Why about bitter waters becoming sweet? We're just showing them, testing them. You allow yourself to be transformed by God. Can God do with you and make you what he wants you to be? This is the goal of God, to transform us, to elevate us. Psalms chapter 25 and verse 8 brings that out so vividly. It says, good and upright is the Lord. You can stop there and just meditate on that. Good and upright is the Lord. In other words, that's the standard, God's standard. But it doesn't stop there. It says, therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. That's exactly what the Lord told the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Exactly that. That is his gold. Verse 12 says, who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. That's the goal of God, to instruct us, to elevate us, to take us out of the mud of life, and to elevate us above, more to like him, more to be like him. And hear what verse 13 says. They will spend their days in prosperity as a result of you obeying God, as a result of you listening to God's instructions. God will prosper you. That's not my promise. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. It doesn't mean it's a smooth road. You're going to have little maras in the way. But if you listen to God, if you beckon to God, if you're flexible to the commands of God, God says, you'll prosper. Who doesn't like prosperity? Is there anyone here who doesn't like prosperity this morning? And God wasn't necessarily speaking of material things, by the way, even though that's all part of the plan, that's possible. But this was not about houses and land and cars. God's prosperity is above that. And he even continues today, even continues in verse 13, he says, and their descendants will inherit the land. Oh my God. Don't you wish that what God told the children of Israel there as they journeyed, that God would pull you aside and tell you exactly that? Will you believe it if God told you that? Would you be better than the children of Israel? Sometimes we read the word of God and we wonder how people could be so stiff-necked. How they could not see the big picture. And the fact of the matter is, we are no different. God wrote it down there in his word so that we can see a picture of our own selves. It's like a mirror, seeing ourselves. As a matter of fact, God has spoken to us and told us exactly that. Look what Joshua 1:8 says. Joshua 1 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do, not observe and keep it in your head. The last time I was here, I said, you know, too often it's just information in our head. God wants us to move beyond that. It's not about information. It's not about memorizing a verse for the sake of memorizing the verse. It's about having the verse give birth to life within us, like a dead seed. And you water it. And then in a few days, you see that little stuff. That's what God wants. According to some of the things that are written in it. According to all the things that are written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will find good success. God has given us that same instructions. That's it there. That's it there. Listen, if there's any person who had a right and a reason to be bitter, it was a man called Jesus. He did nothing wrong. He only did good over and over and over again. They hung him on a cross. They plunged a spear in his side. They nailed his hands and his feet. He cried unto his Father God, and he couldn't hear a response from him. My God, he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus had a right to be bitter there, you know. Guess what he said instead? Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. Jesus had a right to be bitter, yet he asked for their forgiveness. Oh gosh, time is so much gone. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without complaining and murmuring, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may receive in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. The Bible tells us that after God instructed Moses and he put the branch or the tree in the water, it became sweet. It became drinkable. Afterwards, they moved from Mara to Elim. Elim had 70 palm trees and 12 pools of water. What a picture painted there. Because life is just like that. There is a time when we are in Mara, and then sometimes we find ourselves in Elim. That's life. How do you handle it? When you find yourself in Mara, what do you do? Do you call upon God? When you find yourself in Elim, do you forget about God? That's life. We're either in Mara, or we're in Elim, or we're somewhere in between. Where are you this morning? Are you in Mara? Are you in Elim? Perhaps you're saying to yourself right now, I'm somewhere in between. That's understandable. But we don't stay in Mara. No. If we pray to God, God moves us out of Mara. But we must have the understanding also that we're not always in Elim. Look at the very first verse in the next chapter. It says, and they journeyed from Elim. Isn't that something? The very first verse in the next chapter says, and they journeyed from Elim. That's the way life is. But brothers and sisters, whether you find yourself in Mara or whether you find yourself in Elim, be cognizant of God's presence. Don't let your faith waver. Whether things are high or low with you, remember God. Read his word. Stay with him. Because he wants to bless. He wants to elevate you like we read in Psalms 25. He wants you to be more like him. Time is gone, but maybe I can just share this in closing. Because it's really not a message. Depending on what translation you have, in verse 25 of Exodus chapter 15, the word tree is translated wood, translated branch, a part of a tree. It's all referring to the same thing, really. It so typifies what the Lord Jesus Christ did and does, still does, how he changes bitterness into sweetness. That's why he came. Christ came to put away our bitterness. And the reason why I mention the interpretation, depending on which translation you have, is because so often, at least five or six places in the Bible, in the Old Testament,
Jesus is referred to as the branch. The branch, uppercase B. We know it's speaking about him.
Matter of fact, I have a few quotes here. Time is gone, but if you have a good concordance, you certainly can find them. Isaiah 11, Zechariah 6, Jeremiah 23, 5, Isaiah 43, 4 and 2. It says, the day of the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. Zechariah. As I meditated on that, somehow my mind went to John chapter 15. Jesus said this, I am the vine, you are the branches. And it dawned upon me there that while the Bible refers to Jesus as the branch, here in John chapter 15, Jesus refers to us as the branch. We are little Jesuses, in a sense. In other words, what the branch does makes bitter water sweet. Jesus is calling us the branch because he wants us to make bitter water sweet wherever we are. Wherever you and I find ourselves, we shouldn't be making things more difficult. We should be making things better. And Jesus reminds us there, I am the vine, you are the branches. You can do nothing without me. That's a message in itself, but it's something you can meditate on. Jesus is calling upon you, upon us, to be more like him. He is the big branch, but we are little branches who can make bitter waters sweet. I don't know if there's anyone here who came in without knowing Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. Please don't leave here without accepting him, if that's the case. And certainly, those of us who already know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, may we be encouraged to do what he says, to understand his statutes for us, that he wants to elevate us, that he wants to make us more like himself. Like the song says, more about Jesus would I know, more of his love to others show. May the Lord bless us as we continue to read his word for his name's sake. Father, we thank you again for your word. Continue to speak to us. Continue, Lord, to give of thyself to us. We give you thanks in Jesus' precious name.